we just thank you tonight. No matter what this day or night or week has brought us, we simply lay everything aside right now. And we place, Lord, our whole entire faculties upon the altar, Lord, and say, Lord, here we are. We humble our hearts. We humble ourselves. We seek your perfect will in our lives. And Lord, for you to be so real to us tonight, that you would manifest yourself, Lord, to every need. I know you're here. I know you care. And I know you see. You see the hearts of every person, O Father, and the hearts of every person who's listening live right now. You know everything about us. Lord, help us. Look upon us as frail because we are. And Lord, if we feel weak tonight, it's okay, because when we're weak, we are strong in Christ. Let your glory just fill our hearts and our minds and be the strength of our life tonight, Father. Now bless your word and bless this night. And Lord, for all that we're praying for Jimmy, who's healing at home, just be with her and just bless her. And for Sue Ellen, who had this operation today, Father, just comfort her and Carlos and be with them and bring healing to her body as well. And all those that we're praying for. So Lord, bless us now in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn to the book that we have fallen in love with. Amen. Loving Leviticus. We're in chapters 21 and 22 tonight. And you know what? I'm so thankful that we didn't skip this book. Amen. And you know, sometimes, you know, and let me tell you the truth. The truth is this, is that a lot of people, and me included, would like to kind of skip over chapters 21 and 22 because they're quite difficult chapters here in Leviticus that we're going to cover tonight. But you know, I've always learned that whenever we feel like it's, or I feel like it's, you know, let's skip over and get over into the feast and so forth, because we only have a few chapters left in Leviticus and we're through. But I always hate to do that because I know there's always something that God wants us to know. Amen? So tonight I want to talk to you about being a priest or a professional. Being a priest or a professional, or I should say a professional priest. Remember, the theme of Leviticus is holiness. God says, therefore, I am holy, therefore ye be holy. So the people of Israel, the children of Israel that God pulled out of the land of Egypt, redeemed them and brought them forth. He's telling them that they have to live a certain way because they belong to him. So we've covered now about personal purity of the children of Israel in the last, from chapter 17 and following. But tonight we're going to talk about the conduct and the personal, the regulations and the purity of the priest and the high priest in these two chapters. And so these are regulations that are before us. Now listen, we are not Old Testament priests, amen? Our Old Testament saints. We're New Testament saints. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5, it tells us that we are a holy priesthood. Amen? And then in verse 9, it tells us that we are a royal priesthood. Oh, thank God that we know who we are in Christ tonight. Amen? We're all priests unto the Lord. So, you know, God's desire for the nation of Israel was for them, and remember back in Exodus, to be a kingdom of priests. Set apart totally for him, each and every person having total and complete access to God. But remember, in Exodus chapter 32, they blew it. In other words, they sacrificed to the, they made the golden calf, and they all worshiped it. And so God is now, he has set up the regulations for the priest. And for them to approach God, they have to come through sacrifice. They have to come to the tabernacle. They have to come through the priest. So now the personal lives and the conduct of the priest, how they're to live, what they're to do, those that serve the Lord. Let's begin in chapter 21, verse 1, where the Lord says to Moses, speak to the priest, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, none shall defile himself for the dead among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother, his father, his son, his daughter, and his brother. Also his virgin sister who is near to him, who has had no husband, for her he may defile himself. Isn't that interesting? Now you can defile the sons of Aaron. In other words, the priest, not the high priest, the priest, okay? The Levitical priesthood. God says, you know what? You can defile yourself for a few of these things. Contact with the dead made the priest of Aaron, the sons of Aaron, unclean. They could only attend the funeral, if you've just noticed that, of their very closest relatives. That was all they could do. If they touched a body, or if they even, a dead body, or if, say they went into the tent where a dead body was, they were completely rendered unclean for 7 days, according to the book of Numbers. And so they needed to take care of God's people. So what did God do? He put a restriction on his priest. And he says, no, you can only be unclean for the shortest amount of time, meaning for your immediate family. Now, all of this, we're going to make application, just so bear with me as we read through some of these difficult passages. Otherwise, it says, he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. They shall not make any bald place on their heads, nor shall they shave the edges of their beards. Did you do that this morning? Did you shave the edges of your beard? Listen to what it says. Make any cuttings in their flesh. They shall be holy to their God and not profane. That word profane means to treat what is sacred with contempt. Do not profane, what? The name of their God. Why? For they offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and the bread, or literally the fat, the sacrifice unto God. Therefore they shall be holy. What in the world is that all about? God even tells the priest the way they can mourn and not mourn. In other words, you know, they're not to do or act like the pagan nations that are around them. They're not to shave, you know, part of their head or make it bald. They're not to cut the edges of their beard and so forth. They're not to cut up their body. Those were what all the pagan nations did. And when they had lost a loved one or a relative, that was their way to mourn. And God says, don't profane my name. Don't ever do that. In other words, priests are not pagans. Amen? Christians are not pagans. Amen? That's right. In other words, we don't live like the world. We don't live like the world. We live as a Christian, Christ-like in character and conduct. And so he was saying here, you know, you can't mourn like they do. There's no way. Aren't you glad that we're priests under the Lord tonight? And when one suffers, we all suffer. When one is honored, we're all honored. Amen? Because we're the body of Christ. It says in verse 7, talking about the sons of Aaron, it says, they shall not take a wife who is a harlot, meaning a prostitute, or a defiled woman. That's a woman who would, say, worship idols and so forth, pagan idols. Nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for the priest is holy to his God. Therefore you shall consecrate him, set him apart, for he offers the bread of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctify you in holy. And the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by playing the harlot, she profanes her father, and look what the result will be to her. She will be burned with fire. Anybody like to be under the old covenant? No. Listen, I'm talking about the conduct of the priest tonight in the Old Testament. You know, the book of Leviticus, which no one reads anymore. Very important that we understand it. God says to the priest, he says, your family's very important. The way they act, the things that they do. You work for me. May I say something to you tonight? If you are a deacon, you're an elder, you're a pastor, you'd do well to always read 1 Timothy chapter 3 and follow along with the book of Titus about the way we're to act and live before God. It says here about a priest's daughter. It says, you know what? If she lives a wicked life, the priest is not going to lose his ministry, but his daughter is going to lose her life. You know, it's interesting when it talks about, for example, a New Testament pastor. It says, you know, what is the one requirement that a New Testament pastor has to have? Well, it says in 1 Timothy 3:5, it says, for if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Now, that word rule doesn't mean to beat people. It means to love people like Christ would. Amen? In other words, we're the head of the house or the spiritual leader of the home, loves his family, supports his family, and so forth. So that qualification is the same for the Old Testament priest. Now look at verse 10, we move to the high priest. It says, he who is the high priest among his brethren, on whose head the anointing oil was poured, and who is consecrated to wear the garments, shall not uncover his head, nor tear his clothes, nor shall he go near any dead body, nor defile himself or his father or his mother, nor shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God, for the consecration of the anointing oil is upon him. I am the Lord. So the high priest had a greater standard of conduct than just the priest of God. And here it says that he must be totally dedicated to God. Can you imagine not being allowed to attend your mom or dad's funeral? Think about that. Did you know that's in the Bible? You know, you read it and say, dear Lord, in other words, his duty, the high priest, And the high priest is a type of Christ, amen? In other words, does Jesus ever take a break? No. He ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me tonight. He knows every need. He knows every hurt. He knows all that we're going through. He knows our tomorrow if we have one. He also knows our future, amen? And I look at this, and you know, his duties, God says, your duties, you're the high priest, your duties will not be interrupted. And don't you ever tear your clothes. Don't you ever do that. In other words, rip your garments. And what is he saying? God says, since you are the high priest, you will not have any external, not internal, but external signs or display any external signs of mourning. I even questioned that scripture myself. I started digging through commentaries, and you know what I found out? Nobody's saying anything about that. I was like, I need an answer. And so I was going, Lord, what do you mean? And I just guessed, here's what it is. God means exactly what he says. That's the old covenant. God says, listen, the high priest entered into the presence of God. See, we don't get it anymore. How would you like to walk into the Holy of Holies? And there's the cherubim, the drapes right there, the altar of incense, and then the cherubim are embroidered on the drapes, and right behind that drape is the Ark of the Covenant and the Shekinah glory of God. Amen? The presence of God. You know, God means exactly what he says. If we're going to go into the presence of the Lord, he says, you have to approach me the way I want you to. If the priest did that, if he ripped the high priest ripped his garments or started mourning, that defiled him in the eyes of God. I don't understand all of that, but I do know this. Our great high priest feels your pain. He is tender. He is compassionate. Oh, he is sympathetic with us. He knows everything. That his heart is not cold or unfeeling to any problem that you're going through or whatever you're experiencing. He is deeply in love with you tonight. There's nothing that can change God's love for us, not anything. Thank God for that. And he says here, talking about the high priest in verse 13, and he shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow or a divorced woman or a defiled woman or a harlot, these he shall not marry, but he shall take a virgin, now watch this, of his own people as his wife, nor shall he profane his posterity, his seed, his posterity, his children among his people, for I, the Lord, sanctify him. So the high priest cannot marry can't even marry a widow, has to marry a virgin. And why is that? What is he doing? God is doing that. So, for example, say that the high priest married someone outside of the children of Israel, which he was forbidden to do anyway, but or just someone of the children of Israel. Well, in other words, it was to safeguard, to make sure that there was no child that he didn't know about. Are you following me? He had to keep the posterity there, that priestly lineage. It had to be in Aaron's line. And he says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron, saying, no man of your descendants in succeeding generations who has a defect may approach to offer the bread of his God. Well, that rules me out already. Amen. It says, for if any man who has a defect shall not approach, if you're blind and lame and has a marred face or any limb too long, or a man has a broken foot, broken hand, hunchback, dwarf, whatever goes on and on, defect in the eye, a scab, or is a eunuch, no man of the descendants of Aaron. Now, not all the people, just of the descendants of Aaron. Those are going to be priests, high priest. It says, who has a defect shall come near to offer the offerings made by fire to the Lord. He has a defect. He shall not come near to offer bread of his God. He may eat the bread of his God. In other words, they were permitted to eat. They were never denied provision. But both the most holy and the holy, only he shall not go near the veil or approach the altar because he has a defect. And the reason, lest he profane my sanctuary. In other words, they could not, anyone with a defect there in the line of air, they couldn't serve in the tabernacle. They could not go even close to the Holy of Holies or the most holy place. The most holy place or the Holy of Holies. They could certainly be in the outer court, though. And Moses told them, or told it to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. What do you think Aaron thought when Moses told him all that? I mean, I started thinking about that, and I said, Lord, man, you're hard. Well, the Lord is talking about a physical defect. He's not talking about moral defects. Amen? And in other words, did all the offerings of God that were offered to God, did they have to be without blemish? Yes. And so also those in the priestly lineage who is going to serve there in the tabernacle and do all the things, the service to the Lord, they had to be that way too. And that's what God is saying. Listen, I'm so glad that Jesus is without blemish. Amen? Without sin. That's a picture of our great high priest. But let me say something to you tonight. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. Amen? New creation. All of those crummy blemishes and defects that we had, oh yeah, well, you know what? Guess what God did when? Behold, it says, old things have passed away, all things become new. The Bible says in Colossians 2:10 that we are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Psalm 138:8 tells us that he shall perfect those things concerning you. That's a great scripture. I have that one memorized, okay? He shall perfect all those defects. Listen, the good news is those have been cleaned. Amen? You know, we are in Christ Jesus. I'm so thankful that he who began that good work in us is going to finish it. Amen? And he says, so now in chapter 22, they're going to start talking about how the priest must be clean when he offers these sacrifices. It says, and then the Lord spake to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, that they separate themselves from the holy things of the children of Israel. In other words, that they treat with respect whatever they handle there in the sanctuary. They have to treat it with awe, treat it with reverence, respect. And the reason is that they do not profane, remember to treat what is sacred with contempt, do not profane my holy name. How? How would that happen? By what they dedicate to me. They're in the tabernacle, okay? He says, I am the Lord. So the priests, think about this. They offered sacrifices all day long, all year long, day after day. The blood of bull and goats could never take away sin. Amen? And over that they did these things. And here's what is God saying. This is when we get into our message tonight. God is saying to the high priest, to the priest, he's saying to those that are priests today, all of us, he's saying here, he says, listen, never let what you do for me become routine in your life. Boy, that is a word for a Christian who's been a Christian a long time. Believe me. Where they just take it for granted. Been saved so long, they don't know, they forgot what it's like to be lost. You understand? Listen, boy, that's a dangerous place. In other words, God says, the placing of the loaves, the burning of the incense, you know, the shedding of blood and all the things that you do. He's saying, don't you ever, ever become a professional priest. Let me say something to you tonight. Those of us who serve in the ministry, whether it's here in the pulpit or leading worship, or those that minister down here at the altar that teach our children, may I say something to you? If we ever treat those things other than sacred before God, we're in a lot of trouble. Those are sacred things. Those are holy things. Amen? The office of a pastor, the office of an evangelist, a prophet and so forth, apostle, all those things, those are offices that Jesus himself installed, if you will, placed into the church, the body of Christ. They are a gift to the church. They're sacred. And, you know, we don't want to ever profane, you know, the things that God has done. Never become a professional Christian, a professional priest. Amen? In other words, where you just, it's all mechanical and everything. You know, there's nothing worse than to go through the motion of ministry and your heart's not in it. There's nothing worse than to treat the ministry as a job. It's never a job. It's a calling. Amen? Matter of fact, Christian, you have been called by God. You're called by the Lord. We never want to treat it as anything else but sacred. And so serving God in a careless manner, a professional manner, you know what happens? Three things. But let's look at the first one in verses 3 through 9. It makes the priest unclean. Watch this. He said in verse 3, say to them, whoever of all your descendants throughout your generations, talking about Aaron's lineage here, okay? It says, who goes near the holy things which the children of Israel dedicate to the Lord, while he has uncleanness upon him, that person shall be cut off from my presence. I am the Lord. Man, listen, that's dangerous, isn't it? talking about the old covenant tonight. In other words, if an unclean priest, perhaps he touched a dead body, or perhaps he was in the tent where a dead body was, I don't know. But, or maybe he was mourning the wrong way, ripped his garment, I don't know. But he's done something, whatever it might be. If an unclean priest officiated there at the sacrifice, at the altar, did you know that God says that the value of that sacrifice would be completely nullified? And not only that, he says that priest will never minister again. And not only that, he's never going to breathe again. Think about that. Hello? Are you there tonight? Whatever man of this, Bill, you're cheering me up. I came in here to be encouraged tonight, and you're really encouraging me. Well, it's going to get worse. Just hold on. Whatever man of the descendants of Aaron who is a leper or has a discharge shall not eat the holy offerings until he's clean. And whoever touches anything made unclean by a corpse or a man who has an emission of semen or whoever touches any creeping thing by which he would be made unclean or any person whom he would become unclean, whatever his uncleanness may be, the person who has touched anything shall be unclean until evening and shall not eat the holy things unless he washes his body with water. And when the sun goes down, he shall be clean. And afterward, he may eat the holy offerings because it is his food. Whatever dies naturally or is torn by beast, he shall not kill. Remember, no roadkill. You know what I mean. To defile himself with it, I am the Lord. They shall therefore keep my ordinance, lest they bear, here it is, bear their sin for it and die. Therefore, if they profane it, I am the Lord, I sanctify them. Now, a lengthy reading talking about the priest being unclean. In other words, see, when you're a professional minister now, you're a professional priest, you're a professional pastor, you're a professional Old Testament high priest, okay, or just a regular priest. And it says right there, it says, whoever touches any creeping thing. Well, you see, I'm at the altar working that day. I'm an Old Testament priest. I've been killing animals all day long, you know, sacrificing, and all of a sudden that little creeping thing just happens to just crawl up my sleeve. You know, and I see it, and I just knock it down. You know what I'm saying? And I go, oh, you know, it's no big deal. It's just a little creeping thing. God says, you better, because you're getting ready to die. Do you understand how serious that was? Listen, we don't let the little foxes spoil the vine. Amen? They come in and steal from us. The greatest thing that we can do is have a tender conscience toward God and a tender conscience toward His Word. When God says no, He means no. Amen? We're not under the law. We're under grace. But to be under grace doesn't mean that we don't have to obey. Do you follow me? It doesn't mean we just live any way we want to live. We're born again. We're bought at a price. We're not belonging to ourselves anymore. We belong to the Lord. So the Lord says, listen, we're priests. We're not professionals. That creeping thing, you're unclean now. You can't serve. Get away until you're clean again. Then you come back and serve me. See, God means what He says because you're in the very presence of God, but we're in the very presence of God. And we would not be fit for the presence of God had we not be in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, so not only does it make them unclean, but look, you can't have even the wrong people around you, the wrong guest in your home or whatever. Look at verse 10. No outsider, that means someone outside the seed line of Aaron's family. So no outsider shall eat the holy offering. One who dwells with the priest or a hired servant shall not eat the holy thing. But if the priest buys a person with money, well, he can eat. And one who is born in his house may eat his food. If the priest's daughter is married to an outsider, she may not eat of the holy offering. But if the priest's daughter is a widow or divorced and has no child and has returned to her father's house as in her youth, she may eat her father's food, but no outsider shall eat it. And if a man eats the holy offering unintentionally, then he shall restore a holy offering to the priest and add one-fifth to it. So that would be a ram and plus a fifth. Man, that would be a very expensive thing. And they shall not profane the holy offerings of the children of Israel, which they offer to the Lord, or allow them to bear the guilt of the trespass when they eat their holy offering, for I, the Lord, sanctify them. Bill, what in the world did all of that mean? You know that when we studied through Exodus and so forth and how we learned that, you know, the priest received a portion of the offering. Amen? That was their, they could take that home, they could feed their family and so forth. So the priest there on their portions, they could share food with their family, but only the ones that were qualified to share. See, the food, it was holy. Are you following me? It was a holy offering that had been given unto the Lord. I mean, can you imagine, talk about if you have a hired worker, that hired worker in your home, they can't partake of your food. Imagine having a person who's worked in your family 25 years, and they can't sit down at the table and eat of that food. You have to say no to them. Imagine being a priest and saying to your daughter, honey, I love you. You know that I love you, but you know what? You're now, you married an outsider. You know, you married somebody from Dallas or Arkansas. You understand what I'm saying? You're in trouble. And because of that, you can't sit down and eat any of this. God said, no, you can't partake. Can you imagine saying no, always no, 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 you can't. I'm sorry. Only those few. You see how tough and hard that would be? Listen, let me bring it up to today, 21st century Christianity. Imagine a pastor, a believer in the congregation coming to the pastor of the church saying, I'm getting ready to get married. And you go, oh man, praise the Lord. Who's the lucky fellow? Who's the lucky girl? Whatever. And so the believer says, well, they're an unbeliever. I'm going, okay, we want you to marry us. And you say, I can't. And they're offended. Are you listening to me? I cannot join together a believer and an unbeliever. Are you listening to me? I can't do that. It's forbidden. Do you see what I'm getting at? And so you have to say no. Well, I don't understand it. Well, I'm not the one who wrote the Bible. But I have certain things that God says you have to say no to. And so it's very important that we understand what we're saying here tonight. And look at these wrong sacrifices in verses 17 through 32. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons and to all the children of Israel and say to them, whenever a man of the house of Israel, the strangers of Israel, who offers his sacrifice for any of his vows or for any of his freewill offerings, when they offer the Lord as a burnt offering, you shall offer your own freewill, a male without blemish, from the cattle, sheep, goat, so forth, without whatever has a defect, you shall not offer. Did you catch that? Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer of the animals, okay? Why? For it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. God won't take it. It says, and whoever offers a peace offering, goes on, fulfill his vow, goes right on down. It says, it must be perfect to be accepted. There should be no defect. Those that are blind or broken or maimed, if the animals, for example, have an ulcer, eczema, scabs, you shall not offer it to the Lord, nor make an offering by fire on them on the altar to the Lord. Either a bull, a lamb, that has a limb too long or too short, you may offer as a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. So God goes over and over. He says in verse 24, you shall not offer to the Lord what is bruised or crushed or torn or cut, nor shall you make any offering of them in your land, nor from a foreigner's hand shall you offer any of these for the bread of your God, because their corruption is in them and defects are in them. Here again, God says over and over, he's going, they shall not be accepted on your behalf. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and when a bull or sheep or a goat is born, it shall be 7 days with its mother. And on the eighth day and thereafter, it shall be accepted as an offering made by fire to the Lord. Whether it is a cow or ewe, do not kill both her and her young the same day. When you offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving to the Lord, offered of your own free will, on the same day it shall be eaten, you shall leave none of it until morning. I am the Lord. Man, you say, Bill, that was a long reading. Yes, it was. You know, the thing about this is that God is saying that if you're going to make an offering, you're responsible for the offering you're going to make to me from that person. In other words, if a person brings this animal in and it's all messed up, don't you take that? Don't you receive that? God says, no, it has to be the way I want it to be. And God, another thing that the Lord said here, that if it's a young animal that's been born, it's not fit to sacrifice it until the eighth day. Why is that? Why would God say that? In other words, it's not fit for sacrifice. I will not receive it. It's unacceptable to me until the eighth day. You know why? Because God said that's why. That's all I know. I'm being honest. Well, there's about 20 million things people want to write about that, but the truth is I don't understand that at all. And, you know, I think maybe personally it might have something to do. Of course, on the eighth day, for example, even in a child, let's just take when a child is born. Did you know on the eighth day, that's when the Jewish, they would circumcise the male. Is that correct? Well, why was it the eighth day? Why not the seventh day or the fifth day? Well, the reason is because on the eighth day is vitamin K actually comes into the body, okay? Vitamin K is what clots the blood. Are you following me? So that was one of the reasons that God says you wait until the eighth day. But the eighth day also marked what? The new beginning, the removal of the flesh. In other words, you're walking in the spirit now and so forth. So there was a lot of tight teaching there as well. But wonder if maybe that God is saying, don't you take a baby that's just been born, a baby cow, and the mom's there, and, you know, you wait. Maybe there's something about just the way an animal's to be treated, amen? You know, there's a lot to be said about a person, the way they treat animals. You understand? There's something to be said. You know, people that are cruel to animals, there's something not right about that, you know? Even the Bible says this in Proverbs 12:10. It says, a righteous man regards the life of his animal, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. And there's no doubt about that. Be good to everyone and everything, amen? It's all God's creation. And it says here, now, these offerings, I mean, imagine the offerings the priest had to reject. Okay, you know, they're bringing off, nope, I'm sorry, it's bruised. You can't offer anything that's bruised. It's torn. Nope, I'm sorry, you can't do it. You know, you bring in, what do you mean bring in this sacrifice? Golly, it's blind, it's broken, it's maimed, has ulcers and scabs. Get this thing away from me. It was like he had to make sure that it didn't happen. He said over and over. And here's what was tragic about this, is that if the priest accepted the, say, a lame sacrifice, blind sacrifice, torn sacrifice, even though he sacrificed it, God wouldn't accept it. So what does that mean? It means that the Old Testament worshiper who came and brought the sacrifice, even though it wasn't the proper one to bring, and the priest didn't reject it, even though he sacrificed it, the person's sin was not atoned for, was not covered. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God was specific in what he was doing. Now, listen very carefully. I want you to turn, and we've got a few verses left, but I want you to turn to the very last book of the Bible called Malachi. You know which one that is, right? The book of Malachi, that great Italian book, Malachi, yes. Malachi chapter 1. Talking about priests tonight, professional priests and so forth. You know, the priest, the last book of the Bible, God is so upset with the Levitical priesthood that God, after Malachi closes, okay, remember Malachi was a prophet during, I think, Nehemiah's time. And God is so upset with the priesthood because what they were doing, they were professional priests, they were corrupt priests. God was so upset that when the book of Malachi ended, God did not speak for 400 years until the book of Matthew. Are you listening to me? Yes, 400 long years. So when we look at Malachi, the priest, the nation is so sinful that God's word doesn't have any impact on them at all. Matter of fact, it says in Malachi 3:14, it says they were saying it is useless to serve God. Can you imagine a priest, a pastor, saying it's useless to serve God? Useless, it's empty, it's nothing. Now, look here, let's begin in verse 6, okay? Let's just begin there, about these polluted offerings, because that's what we've been talking about here. God says, don't bring me the lame and the blind and all the things, these animals that are torn and cut and crushed, don't do that. They're not going to be accepted. So look at the polluted offerings that they're offering. God says, no, I want you to offer the best to me. It says in verse 6, as a son honors his father, and a servant is master, if then I am the father, where is my honor, God says? And if I'm the master, you know, where's my reverence? Why aren't you respecting me if I'm your father, if I'm your master? Oh, he says, thus saith the Lord of hosts to you, what? You priest who despise my name, yet you say, in other words, the priests say, well, in what way have we despised your name? These priests in the time of Malachi, the same priest, the Levitical priesthood we're talking about there in Leviticus, listen, they're busy with their duties, and here's the problem. And New Testament Christians, we're just as guilty. In other words, they were just going through the motions of ministry. They were like being professionals, man. They were not priests. In other words, they would honor God with their lips, but their heart was so far from them, and they were just making the required sacrifices. In other words, they were saying, "What more do you want? You know, we're doing the offerings that you want, God. Why are you complaining to us?" And so forth. And God was saying, "You know what? The worship of God should never be routine." Amen. Never should be routine. They said, "In what way have we despised your name?" And look at verse 7. And here it is. "You offer defiled food on my altar." That's what the priests were doing. But you say, "In what way have we defiled you?" By saying the table of the Lord is contemptible. In other words, their actions made the table of the Lord contemptible in what they offered. And God says, "You know what? That's the way you're despising me, is the things that you're putting on my altar, the things that you're allowing to be done there," and so forth. In other words, they were treating the table of the Lord, the altar of the Lord, as something that was just totally ordinary. As a matter of fact, remember we just read in chapter 22 of Leviticus, it says, "Do not profane my name by what they dedicate to me." In other words, what they put upon the altar. Look at verse 8 now. "And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and the sick, the disease, literally, is it not evil? Offer them to your governor." In other words, offer them to the tax man, you know, and see what they would do. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, saith the Lord? God says, you know, here's the deal. We need to give God our best, don't we? You know, we're always asking God for him to give us his best. But do we really want to give God our best to him? And so they were just giving God leftovers. They were giving God secondhand offerings. You know, G. Morgan Campbell said this about this passage. He said this. He says, "I'm more afraid of the profanity of the sanctuary than I am the profanity of the street." You know, I wonder sometimes, I just wonder, all of us, all of our hearts. You know, Wednesday night, I'm tired, you're tired, you've had a hard week, I've definitely had a hard week. You know, and sometimes we, you know, like I told the Lord, I said, "Here I am talking about being a professional priest, Lord, and I'm exhausted and I've got to get up here," and you know what I mean? And I was saying, "Daryl, come on, you know, come up here tonight." And I wanted to say, "Why didn't you take an offering last week, brother? What's wrong with you? You're going to preach on that. Take that offering up, man," you know? And, man, get it while it's hot, you know? And, it's real easy, you know, to come in here. When we're tired, we're just worn out, and we go through the motions of praising God. I mean, it doesn't mean we don't love the Lord. It just means that sometimes we're just overcome with things. And we just approach him, and we forget that God is holy, holy, holy. And that we are his holy priesthood. That we've been set apart. And that God, even though, yes, he loves us, never will leave us, never will forsake us, and yes, we're blessed, and all those things, and yes, we're in Christ, yes, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, hallelujah, and thank God. But we look at the condition of our world today, we look at the condition of the church in America, we see the decline. Oh, Bill, you're the most negative person. No, I'm not negative, I'm truthful. And I see the things that are happening, and I wonder, just like the children of Israel or these Levitical priests here, you know, I wonder how many things we offer to the Lord, but they're lame. They're diseased. They're just our throwaways. But we want God to give us his best, don't we? He did. He gave us his son. Do you follow me? And so I say, "Lord, you know, I don't want to be professional. I just want to be real. I want to always speak your truth. I want to always be in love with you. I always want to have a good prayer time that pleases you. I always want to be a student of your word. I want to be obedient to your word. I want to be filled with your spirit each and every day. I don't want to be a professional believer. I want to be an on fire believer." Amen. That's what I want with all my heart. You know, it's like telling the Lord, "Hey, Lord, you know, I've got this old sick cow at home. It's, you know, got one eye, one leg, and full of scabs all over its body, kind of drools out of the corner of its mouth, but I'm going to give it to you because I don't want to take it to the vet, you know what I mean? And so you take this thing off my hands, and I'm giving you my best, Lord." God says, "Man, no, you're not. You're polluting my altar. You're polluting the sanctuary. You're coming in here with a bunch of junk. And God says, no, man, that's not right. He says in verse 9, he says, but now, talking to these guilty priests, these corrupt priests, he says, but now entreat God's favor. Why? Watch this. God says, you better entreat my favor. Well, that he may be gracious to us while this, meaning their vile conduct, while this is being done by your hands, talking to those priests, will he accept you favorably, saith the Lord of hosts. So Malachi, the prophet, he says to these priests, these professional priests, they just go through the motions now. They worship. It's just, oh, we've done our job. You know what I mean? He says, listen, boy, you better run to God's grace because you're offering the living God, the true and living God, polluted offerings with your filthy, polluted hands. That's exactly what God's saying. Does God mean business? Man, listen, he means business. And you know, he's saying, don't think for 1 minute, just because you're wearing that outfit and you know you're going to and you're working in that temple and you're slaying those animals and you're just taking all these diseased animals in and all, you think God is not going to accept him and he's not going to accept you. He says, who is there even among you? Watch this in verse 10, talking about the priest, a professional priesthood here. He says, who is there even among you, among the priest? Watch this now. Who would shut the doors so that you would not kindle fire on my altar in vain? In other words, no more offerings. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord, nor will I accept an offering from your hands. Listen, does God mean business? Yes, this is old covenant. Yes, I know that. But man, listen to the cry of God. You know what he just said? I mean, this is incredible to me. He said, who among you, the priest, the high priest, the other priest, who among you has enough courage? Who among you is spiritual enough to shut down the temple? That's what God is saying. God is saying, listen, I would rather see this temple closed than see the priest and the people playing church. That's what he's saying. And I'm going, oh, Lord, you mean business. God says, I don't have any pleasure in those diseased animals that you're bringing me. God says, I will not stand lukewarm religion. Boy, I'll tell you, there's something to be said about that. And listen, it's a sad day, loved one, like it is right here. Look what he says. I have no pleasure in you. It's a sad day when our sacrifices do more harm than good. Amen? And I looked at that and I said, oh, Lord. You know, God really wants us, when Paul writes, he says, I beseech you, therefore, I beseech. That means I'm urging, I'm entreating, I'm begging, I'm pleading. God, the Holy Spirit. Listen, Paul penned those words through the power of another. Amen? The Holy says, I beg you, I plead, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice. That word present is a picture of an Old Testament priest laying the animal on the altar and saying, here it is, Lord. Here's the sacrifice. In other words, God says, I don't want you to die, man. I want you to live for me. Amen? And that's what we are to do in all that we do. You know, it's so easy to get caught up in the world, the things of the world, the problems of the world. And we don't have a guarantee that we're going to be here in the morning. Pastor Darrell and I were talking before the service about living. You've heard me say many times over the years, live. Live every day. Serve God and live. Amen? Don't worry about life. Jesus is going to take care of you. Has he ever failed you? He's never failed you. He's never going to fail you. He's never going to let you down. Oh, you may think he's let you down, but may I tell you something? God is faithful. Everything that he has ever done, anything that God will ever do is always perfect, is always right. It's always on time. He is never late. Never. He knows everything. And the most of the reason we're in trouble is because of our own sin, our own fault. In other words, going in the wrong direction, not allowing the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. God says, I don't want a bunch of professional Christians. I want Spirit-filled Christians. I want Christians that'll not offer anything polluted to me, give me secondhand stuff. I want your very best because God says, I've given you my very best. I've given you my son, freely given you my son. And all who believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God goes on, and I need to hurry, but God goes on, and he says, from the rising of the sun even to the going down, in other words, over the whole earth, my name will be great among the Gentiles, and every place incense shall be offered in my name. That incense meaning prayers. And a pure offering For my name shall be great among the nations, saith the Lord of hosts. That's not going to happen until the millennial reign, the kingdom age. But look at verse 12 now. But you, the priest, you profane it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled and its food is contemptible. You also say, look at this now, oh, what weariness. Oh, what weariness. Look what these priests are doing. And you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring the stolen, you bring the lame, you bring the sick, thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, saith the Lord? Oh, what weariness. Listen, you know what he's saying? Listen, he's saying, you're tired. You're saying, oh, I'm tired of coming to the temple. I'm tired of offering these sacrifices. I'm tired of coming to church every Sunday. And oh, if I just come on a Wednesday night, I know I'm getting a little star from God on my report card that, you know, oh, he must really love me more. Oh, you know, even though there's all those good things on TV that I'm missing tonight, but I have a, whatever that thing is called, and I can film or something for, what's that called? Oh, I felt the anointing all the way up here. DVR, DBR? DVR. And I can record four movies, whatever it does, I don't know. But I know you can do it, okay? That's why I'm at church tonight, is because I can record four of my favorite movies, and I'm going to stay up late and watch it when I get home and be late to work, but it's okay. Oh, listen. Oh, I'm so weary. I need a church that's relevant. I don't need a church that's teaching through the book of Leviticus tonight. Every word of God is relevant. And listen, don't think that I don't know that the crowd diminishes when we teach through the book like Leviticus. I know that. But you know what? My job is, I'm commanded to teach you and teach myself the entirety of God's word. In other words, Paul said, I have not shunned to declare in you the whole counsel of God. I'm not called to just share part of God's word or my favorite doctrines or my favorite topics. I teach through the word of God. That's what I'm called to do. That's why I said it, loving Leviticus. You know what? I may not love it, but I'm acting like it. Amen? And I'm learning to love it. It may not be my favorite book. I don't have one Leviticus scripture anywhere in my house, okay, on my refrigerator. But this is God's word, and it's holy. And we're going to learn the Bible at this place. And I look and I say, oh, Lord, church is not, shouldn't be boring. God is not boring. The word of God, it is so relevant. Teaching the chapter by chapter, verse by verse, it's not boring. You know what God says? Listen, let me just read this, and I know it's time to close, and I'm going to, but let me just read there in chapter 2 for a moment about these corrupt priests. It says these professional priests. It says, oh, and now, O priest, this commandment is for you. If you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart, to give glory to my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them. In other words, they were going through the motions here, and God says, you're already doomed, man. You're already cursed because you did not or do not take it to heart. See, God wants our heart. He doesn't want us to go through the motions. He really, you know, we sing, oh, Lord, we give you our heart and all this. Well, you know, do we? That's what God is really saying. He says, behold, I'm going to rebuke your descendants, and I want you to look at this, and I'm going to spread refuge on your face, the refuse of your solemn feast. What is God saying? Here it is. You know what refuse means, amen? Okay, all right. But what he's talking about there is that I'm going to take, you know, when they, remember they had to slice open the ram or the bull or whatever, they had to take the offal, the insides out, remember? The excrement and the bowels, everything, all the ugly junk. God says, I'm going to take your face and I'm going to rub your face right in that. Because that's the kind of polluted people you are. Not us tonight. We're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? But I'm talking about how God hates those kind of things. In other words, pretending that we love God. Pretending that we're going to worship God. Pretending to be Christians. Professionals. God says, no, no. You're my priest. You're not professionals at all. Now look, let's turn back to chapter 22 of Leviticus. You can find it. It's very easy to find. Come on. Genesis, Exodus, and what's the next one? All right. Look at 22:31 now. Leviticus 22:31. Let's finish. God says, therefore you shall keep my commandments and perform them. Why? Why should we do that? The answer, I am the Lord. In other words, recognize who he really is. Amen? You shall not profane my holy name, but it will be hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. In other words, start celebrating what all God has done in your life. Who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. And God is saying, and never forget that I delivered you from slavery. Never forget that I delivered you from the house of bondage. We are not professional priests. Amen? We are priests unto the Lord. You remember when Jesus came into the temple there in Matthew 21. Remember when Jesus cleansed the temple? John's gospel says that he made a little whip, you know, and he just started slapping people and chasing the money changers and all the people and drove them out, those who bought and sold in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold up. And he said this. Jesus said, my house, and we're his house, amen? My house shall be called a house of what? Prayer. But he looked at those men there and he says, but you have made it a den of thieves. You've made it a place where robbers hang out. And guess what Jesus did? Those who were not supposed to come into the temple, those who had defects, the blind and the lame, they were never to come in. Remember, we learned that. What did Jesus do? Let me read it to you. There he is. His house is what it should be. All the, you know, the church today is full of merchandise. He went in and cleaned it out. And he said, oh, my house. And we are the house, the temple of the Lord, to be a house of prayer. And then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple. Those who were the outcasts, those with defects, those the ones that the law said, though you can't come in. And it says, and he healed them. That's what the new covenant, that's what the New Testament really is all about. Amen. Jesus indeed is our healer tonight. And you know what? When he looks at us, there is not one defect, Christian, upon you. Why? Because we are in Christ Jesus. We're in Christ Jesus. Everything that Jesus accomplished, we are a part of that. In other words, Jesus did everything that Jesus do please the Father? Then we're in Christ, and now we please the Father. Did Jesus keep the whole law? Have we? No. But we are in Christ, and God looks at us as though we have kept the law. Our sins, are they evident in our life? Our sins, have they cost us our past sins? Some of us has cost us dearly, amen? But when we're in Christ, our sins now are as far as the east is from the west, and God has imputed unto our accounts the perfect, spotless, sinless record of Jesus Christ. We are his true priest tonight. And we will act like it. Amen. Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for the glorious rain that's descending right now and how we need it. We will not feel uncomfortable about it. We rejoice in it. Lord, give everyone safe passage home tonight. Let there not be any accidents in Tarrant County, Lord. Let everyone get home safely, and those that are driving to other counties that are driven so far tonight, keep them safe as well. We praise you tonight. We're not a bunch of professionals. We're a bunch of priests, a royal priesthood, a holy priesthood. Oh, God, thank you for what you've made us. Thank you that we'll never treat and profane this altar, this house, the house that you've given us, meaning our bodies in this chapel. That, Lord, when we come to you, we want to come to you with all of our heart. We want to come to you whether we're tired or lonely, beaten down, no matter what it is. Lord, we just come to you the way we are, and you accept us. because we're in Christ. And we love you tonight. And I ask you, Father, that all of our professionalism and all of our routine and our mechanical praying and our mechanical worshiping and whatever that we do that's mechanical and not right, wash it away. Wash away it right now, Lord. We just want to be pleasing in your sight. Lord, we just want to make you so happy with us. We want to be real people. Real people, not a bunch of phonies, but real people. Open. Our hearts opened. Lord, bless people tonight. Touch bodies and heal tonight. Deliver tonight. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us tonight. And Lord God, we thank you for this wonderful rain, for our state needs it desperately. Keep us all safe, Lord. We love you tonight, Lord. And we're going to close and we're going to sing a song with all of our heart to you. With all of our heart. And even though we are, maybe some of us are going to sound off key to one another, but we're not off key to you. We're going to sing with an open heart and sing and worship you tonight. With all that's in our heart, we love you. In Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's stand.